Technology is great when it works. Okay. I want to welcome everybody in this evening. I've got James Arthur and Prashiva Ray. Close?
It's good.
Authors, great people. Thanks for making some time for me this afternoon.
Hey, it's our pleasure, Jim. Yes. Thanks for having us.
So you're here to talk about harmonic wealth, and I'm in the spiritual summer bit, so I've seen you. There's some spiritual ties to all it's what you're talking about, so I think this is going to be fun. It's kind of a big reach because I've been talking about all sorts of other things, but we'll make it work because that's what I do around here. Take the big reaches from time to time.
We believe it's all spiritual, so probably everything you're talking, everything is infused with spirit or the life force, so yeah. Everything's fair game, Jim.
So talk to me about harmonic wealth, because obviously I want to make sure we get that promoted before we get too far in the weeds, because that's why you're here.
Well, I took on this large project, a pretty aggressive goal to redefine wealth back in 2006, and I haven't been totally successful. Hopefully I've been a little bit successful. My book was a New York Times bestseller. And If you ask the vast majority of people what wealth means, instantaneously, they're going to say something about money. But if you trace the etymology of the word wealth back to its origins, it literally translates as well-being. So It really doesn't have anything to do with money, because Bersava and I work with a lot of people who make a tremendous amount of money and they don't have a lot of well-being. In fact, Jim, the fact is, in my experience, our experience, that the only people who worry more about money than the financially poor are the financially rich, because when you have more, you have more to lose, if that makes sense to you.
Oh yeah.
Harmonic wealth is a state of harmony and well-being in what I call the five pillars of life, the five key areas. Financial is one of them. Financial, relational, mental, physical, and spiritual. And when those are in harmony, then you truly have well-being. And so that's the gist of the concept of harmonic wealth. And it was a very successful concept, and I believe it's still applicable here in 2023 as it was all the way back in 2006, when it was initially published.
Which it is. I mean, maybe a timeless work, because we're going to be dealing with those factors, well, forever, I would assume, unless we figure out this wealth thing and get those people squared away. But okay, so you guys' journey started, I'll say, years ago. I'm not going to put the year on it, but how did you two become connected and start working together and all that fun stuff?
Why don't you start off with yours? It's a galloping good adventure, actually.
Well, okay. So I met him when he... Well, do you want me to jump into your story?
Yeah, and go, how
I
met go for
you?
It.
Okay, he just got right out of prison, so...
Yeah.
And your viewers are going, what?
How many of your guests can say that? When I was in prison... but anyway, nonetheless.
Well, a few, but that's here.
Well, then we're in good company, Jeff. We're in good company. So anyway, go ahead,
Bersava. Yeah, I was in a rough spot in my life, and he just got out of prison, and it was the first event that he was back at speaking again.
Wait. So it's hard to believe that you're in a better spot than him, but he just got out of prison. So when you say you're in a rough spot, you had to have been in a rough spot.
Well, yeah, you can't really compare it like that. Then, if you put it that way,
it's kind of relative, but
it's all relative.
I know. I'm just picking on it just for a moment, because we just had that fun. Okay, sorry.
No, you're all good. No, I would say because of what he went through, it resonated with me and the message that he was giving. And what attracted to me to him at that time was the fact that he was raw and real. And as far as, the industry of personal development, they're really not, that's not been my experience. It's always like, oh, everything's great, put on a happy face, and this, that. And it doesn't resonate with people that are actually in pain and suffering and so forth. And his was different. It was a different message. So I was interested in that. And I wanted some of that. And I was at a point in my life where I was kind of starting over, having to start over, because I just gotten out of a divorce. So then I went to work for him. And from there, we fought the idea of being in a relationship together and fast forward, we're married now. So
yeah,
and 10 years later.
Let me just say, for those who are married, you can relate to this, or the guys anyway, who are viewing this. For the first 3 years, we weren't a couple. She worked for me.
Yeah.
Now we're married and I work for her. Okay. So you know,
I just had my 17th wedding anniversary the other day. Yep. That's 100% accurate.
Good for
that's
you.
That's awesome. Good for you.
Yeah. If everybody asked me, well, can you do this or that? I said, get it with my scheduler. I don't know. I'm just going along with it. I wake up and get handed a sheet of paper. This is what I'm doing today. So this is what I'm doing today.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you. So I know how that goes.
Okay. So what were you speaking about back in the day?
The same thing that I really deal with now. My latest book, Jim, is called The Business of Redemption. And redemption, the word redemption is used a lot in spiritual and religious circles. And I'm totally in alignment with that. And yet again, being a student of language, if you trace the etymology, sound familiar, back to the origins of redemption, it literally translates as to gain or regain something by paying the price. And so that's what we really work on and talk about a lot today, is because I think every single one of us needs redemption. If there's anything you haven't yet had in your life that you'd like to gain, or if there's something you once had and you've lost it and you'd like to regain it, then what you need is redemption, because that's the definition of the word. But here's the key thing, is you have to be willing to pay the price. There's always a price for the prize. And the bigger the prize you're going after, the bigger the price you must pay. So if we want to look at the world today, I'm fully convinced that we all individually need redemption. Our relationships need redemption. Our country needs redemption. The world needs redemption. We've gotten really off track in so many ways. And that's why it appears to be so chaotic around us, because we've kind of lost our true north, if you will. And if you want to talk more about that, we certainly can. But that's what I was talking about all the way back in 2013. When I first got out of prison, and as Bersava mentioned, and she was in the audience, and we're still talking about that today, the message has fleshed out, because when I got out of prison 10 years ago, Jim, in 2013, I was homeless, I was alone, and I was $20 million in debt just 10 years ago. And so now fast forward, I'm certainly not alone anymore. Thank God. I'm not homeless, as we come to you from our media studio here in our home, and the debt has been retired. And and so a lot of things have changed. I literally have redeemed. I've gained a lot and regained some, but I've probably gained much more than I have regained, because I'm a better human being and I'm more humble and I'm more awake, I believe, because of the challenges that I went through.
So with this middle book was Sandwich and Nerd, A Price of Readership, which is always a fascinating topic for me. So tell me a little bit about that, and then we'll start to devolve into the mass of the conversation.
Well, that's the business of redemption, and the subtitle is The Price of Leadership.
Oh.
And that's okay.
I'm firing my notes here. No.
Yeah,
I would fire my producer, but he'll keep coming back. So
that's okay. But I'm glad you brought up the subtitle, because so many people, they say, oh, it's a book. And it came out in the business section, by the way, not in personal performance, which is normally the genre I've written in, but it came out in the business section. A lot of people say, well, I'm not a leader. I don't have a title. I don't have a position. I don't have enough followers. I don't make enough money. Irrelevant. Irrelevant. Leadership has nothing to do with any of those things. You lead your life, you lead your relationships, and you lead your business, period. And so every single one of us is a leader in our own right. And so that's the price of leadership, is to pay the price of whatever you're going after. And the bigger the prize you're going after, the bigger the price you must pay. And so many people are just not willing, particularly in today's world, to pay the price. They want the government to do it for them. They want their student loan paid off. They want, you know, all these different things to be handed to them. And that's just not how the world works.
So, well, we're neck deep in leadership and all this other stuff, but we've mentioned the five pillars. How do we keep that balance going between any of the five of them? Because I'm picturing the old apple cart, right? You get out of alignment and it starts to wobble. Of course, the cart's got two wheels, so I don't know what, maybe it's a car then, I guess, it has four, I don't know. So how do we keep them all kind of in the same place?
Well, we don't. And you know, you used a curse word in my world, which is balance. Because I say balance is baloney. You know, people who talk about balance, and there's so many people out there, live a balanced life and be balanced, and all the, and not one of them, Jim, is balanced. Not one of them is balanced. They're just not. You know, balance is stasis. It's static. It doesn't move. Well, quantum physics tells us everything in this universe is comprised of energy, and energy is always in a state of motion. It has a frequency, and it's always in a state of motion. And so balance is not realistic. What is harmony. Now, here's the difference. Is harmony is dynamic. It's much more like an orchestra versus a scale in perfect balance. You know, sometimes in an orchestra, you're leading with the drums. Let's say that's your finances. Sometimes you're leading with the woodwinds. Let's say that's your relationships. Sometimes you're leading with the brass section, but they all come together to create this perfect tapestry called the music. And yet it's dynamic. And so when you look at the five pillars, financial, relational, mental, physical, spiritual, what you have to do is to put energy towards each one of them continuously, not the same amount of energy. Mm-hmm. Just because you spend 10 hours at work doesn't mean you have to spend 10 hours in the gym to be healthy and fit. Thank God, right? you know, and so even with your family, you know, just because you spend 10 hours at work, and I'm only using that because a lot of us do that, doesn't mean you have to spend 10 hours with each of your children. But you've got to invest in everything, give some energy towards all of those things, financial, relational, mental, physical, spiritual, because if you don't, then you break and you find a void, and the weakest link in the chain always breaks the chain. I hope that makes sense to you.
It makes perfect sense to me. I was kind of setting you up because I knew where you were headed. I like getting people irritated because they get fired up and they start telling good stories. No, I'm going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to kind of, like I said, we're going to get deeper in the weeds. Leadership comes at a price, but let's say you're at a company and you're up for a promotion and you don't get it. How do you deal with that? Because that's going to definitely cause a ripple in your harmony and your ego, because if you think you should get a job and you don't get it, how do you pursue that?
You want to take a stab at that one?
How to pursue a job if you don't get it? Maybe you're not meant to get it.
Talk some more about that one. That's good.
Oh, well, I mean, it depends what the situation is. Sometimes, you know, what happens to us that we see as a curse or something crappy turns out to be a gift. So it could be very much that. And if your ego gets hurt, well then tough stuff, you know.
And not just tough stuff, but what can you learn?
Well,
you know,
yeah, every situation is a learning opportunity. That's how you have to look at it.
How can you grow from this? How can you become better from this? That happened to me at AT&T. I had an entire career, 13 years at AT&T. And this is...
Oh, wait, you're the guy I need to talk to about my poor cell phone service. Hold on. Sorry.
It's been a long time. A long time ago. But I left there in 92. But nonetheless, and this is going to be very applicable to what's going on in the world today. I was slated for a management promotion to manage one of their then retail outlets. Mm. And my boss was really excited to tell me that I got the job and I was going to get the promotion. Well, fast forward a week later, she called me in her office and she said, "Hey, you're not going to get it because we have to fulfill an EEO quotient and promote a woman." And she goes, "I'm really sorry." And that was disappointing. It was incredibly disappointing. you know, because I was the one that was slated for the job and I deserved the job and I worked hard for the job. And so, you know, what you have to do, life is disappointing in many, many ways. And yet what you have to do is say, how, ask yourself the tough questions. How can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? How can I continue to persevere? Keyword, persevere, even though I didn't get what I wanted in the near term. Well, the long answer, or the short answer to a long story, is that I got a much bigger, better promotion. I became a national sales trainer for AT&T, which put me on a stage for the first time in my career. And I felt the magic. And that's exactly where I was meant to be. So going back to Beersheba's comment, I wasn't meant to be in that position. And there's a grander plan in play than what most of us can comprehend. And that's where faith comes in.
Yeah, as I say, that's that spiritual aspect that we were talking about.
That's right.
Because it's easy to get caught up in the day, right? You were probably, I mean, that day, that week, you were probably, well, I'll say it, pissed to the world because you know, and then how long was that gap between the getting to,
it was probably 6 months.
Yeah. And there you are 6 months later doing something way better, but in the short term, it was very frustrating. So now that you're up on stage all the time, so what kind of groups are you speaking to? Because I'm imagining there's a lot of people in those groups that think they should be up there speaking or running the company or any of the checkboxes above, right?
Today's culture.
Who told you that?
Are you serious, Jim? There's no posers.
I did a survey of your last audience. They said they could do a. Oh wait.
Yes, I believe that. It's unfortunate.
It's more common than not.
It's more common than not in this social media world. You know that. And unfortunately, Beersheba and I were just talking about this over breakfast this morning. There's so many people who want to get all the glory, if you will, or the spotlight without paying the price or making the sacrifice.
Doing the work.
And you know, it's unfortunate because what we have so frequently in today's world is a lot of book reports. If you follow me, people hear, they read a book and all of a sudden they're an expert to talk on a topic or I can't tell you how many times my thoughts are stolen and used on social media, but I'm not quoted. They're put forth as if they're that person's thoughts. And so, yes, it happens a lot. It happens more often than is really integrous. And yet here's the reality. And I'll answer your original question because that was kind of a two-tiered question. Yeah. The reality is if you don't have a depth of experience, it's going to end up coming around to haunt you, because if someone asks you a question and you don't have a depth of experience, then you're going to end up going nowhere. You're not going to know how to answer because you don't have the experience. What kind of audiences? And Beersheba and I come in a package. We do presentations together. She runs, because it's a multimedia presentation, she runs all the audio visual and the music, and which I guess is audio visual and all of that.
It's different. I understand. Trust me. He's just the guy that talks. I understand there's a difference.
Right. So we speak primarily to entrepreneurial groups. Mm-hmm. Now there's exceptions to that because we also do a lot of business consulting work too. So we speak to leadership groups, we speak to entrepreneurial groups, we speak to sales organizations, because I have a big history and background. I have a very complex background. And
I hadn't noticed that yet. But
you've mentioned that the spiritual aspect a couple of times. I came out, my last job at AT&T was as a C-suite consultant at AT&T School of Business. So I worked with CEOs and vice presidents and presidents on things like leadership and team performance and culture change. And those are the things that we do together today when we go into a business. And yet I've also studied with the Iowa Scaro in the jungles of the Amazon. I've trekked to 17,000 feet with a Toltec shaman and studied with my Toltec shaman mentor for numerous years in Peru, back and forth and back and forth. I've been initiated into two mystery schools, three shamanic orders. And so you might say I have a really complex background. I have this business foundation, which I owe to AT&T a great debt of gratitude. My traditional schooling is in behavioral sciences and psychology. And then I've got all this mystical exposure to, call it spiritual, that I bring to the forefront. So going back to where we started, Jim, it's all spiritual. You know, you said you get into a lot of weeds, your words, and you get off on tangents, and it's all spiritual because everything is spiritual. Making money is spiritual. You know, relationships are spiritual. Everything is animated by the same life force.
Yeah. And that's the fun part of it all, right? So as you're traveling around the world and you're talking entrepreneurship and spiritual, how does the message get received? I'm assuming it's different in different cultures and different places.
Yeah.
I think with businesses, it's different. We don't come out from the spiritual aspect side of it. We do in an undertone way because it is all spiritual. And yet all the principles are, you could apply them across the board to everyone. So in a business environment, we say it's the people that need to, that make the business, and we work on the culture of the business and what their belief systems are and so forth. Let's see, the more of the people that we have events for, or seminars, workshops for, then, you know, all the gloves come off on those. Anything
goes on that. The more they get into the curriculum, yes, the more we start to be more blatantly spiritual. Like we have, we have an event starting in 2 weeks.
Yes.
We have a 17-week course, mm-hmm, every Monday night for 17 weeks, 2 hours on Monday night, called Modern Magic. And it's all about, you know, some of the things that I...
Well, I just did a card trick for you. You weren't paying attention. Sorry.
Yeah. It's not stage magic. It's the ability to create willful change in the fabric of your universe, both spiritually and materially, is how we define magic. And it really is grounded in... Bershaba and I both have a background in mystery trainings and Kabbalistic technology, which is very complex and incredibly profound, sure, about how to literally be able to shapeshift your reality. Mm-hmm. And that sounds really esoteric. And yet quantum physics tells us that you're a magical being. If you study physics, which I have for about two decades, it tells you, you have the ability to shapeshift your reality. You have that within you. Now, do most of us use it? No, not consciously. We use it to our detriment because we don't know how the universe works. And so when you learn how the universe works, then you learn how to work with the universe versus having it work against you.
I'm assuming this is more than the repeating of the same, I want to be a billionaire bit that some people out there are pushing.
Yes. Yes, in fact,
a little
I hear
complex than that.
Yeah, way more complex.
You said complex, but I wanted to level down into it a little bit.
Yeah, thanks for getting granular. You know, the yeah, in fact, the wanting enforces the not having. So the very statement, I want to be a billionaire, is reinforcing
that you're not.
and so one of the greatest ways to create something in your life is to not need it, and to certainly not want it. If you try, language is powerful, Jim. If you just try on the word "I want," and you can feel there's this contraction, there's this longing, there's this void, and so yes, it's a lot more complex than doing affirmations or writing down keywords and repeating them over and over again.
Yeah. Well, this was 2019, pre-COVID. I was going to say last summer, and then I realized COVID happened and I lost a couple years. I was having some issues with my fibroid, And I kept saying, I'm going to keep going until the well runs dry, over and over again. Yeah, I knew I wasn't right, but I couldn't, bouncing from doctor to doctor trying to figure it out. Oh, I'm just going to keep going until the well runs dry. Keep going until the well runs dry. And then one day I woke up and my well was dry.
Was dry. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, shit. What did I just do to myself? Now I don't feel good. And now I don't have water. No. So yeah. The power of words have become really foremost in my mind after that. So that's why I was just kind of throwing that one out there, because I know that the power that does happen.
Yeah.
This is a technology.
I see you're chomping on something. Go for it.
Yeah, this is a technology that's as old as time. You know, yeah. if you go to the New Testament, for instance, in the book of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Now, I'll stop there and let your viewer unpack that for themselves. But if the Word is God, well, what's God? God is the creative source. And so words are incredibly powerful. Now back up to the book of Genesis, and it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be light. All was dark and void, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And so yes, one of the things that we teach consistently is that there's tremendous power in the language that you choose and the words that you choose. So it's pretty wise to choose them wisely, or your well will run dry.
You said something. Yeah, I was going to say, I noticed you said something earlier about not wanting it. Now, how do we, some things are obvious, right? But how do we set that mindset? I'm trying to help you out here. How do we go from that want to the other side of that coin?
Okay.
I mean, so, I know we've only got half an hour left. I'm sure you want to run hard, but go ahead.
Yeah, no. This is good. So tell me one thing that you would choose to create in your life. You have a goal or an intention of some sort?
Oh yeah, you know, it's to have that
in one
media
you're
credibility, you know, that whole next look.
Greater credibility.
Yeah, I'll just throw this one out there. Yeah.
Greater credibility. Let's work with that.
You're a New York Times bestseller. That sounds fun. Yeah.
Well, yeah, be careful what you ask for, Jim. It's not that fun. Because I'll tell you, you know, a couple things about that. Let me riff on that for a minute. I made $1,250,000 advance on my book, Harmonic Wealth. And everyone goes, oh my God, that's a lot of money. Well, it is. And yet let's unpack that a little bit, because first of all, I had to hire a publicist who cost $30,000 a month. Okay. So work the numbers on that one. And then I had to hire a writing partner who cost $150,000 and plus bonuses. And then I had to pay for all my airfare to be on the Today Show and the Oprah and on Larry King Live. They don't pay you to be on those shows, and they don't pay you to get there. Well, Oprah paid the second time, but not the first time. And you have to pick up your own expenses. And so I, you know, start adding up the money. Mm-hmm. And what I ended up with was poultry from that $1,000,002. So it's not all that it's cracked up to be. And I was on the road nonstop. And then I didn't get paid for the book sales until they made back $1,000,002. I didn't make a dollar until they made back that van. And so be careful what you ask for. And then things went sideways in my life because I was a public figure and New York Times bestselling author. If I'd have been no one knew who he was, what happened for me that sent me to prison wouldn't have even been a blip on the screen. But because I was, quote, who I was, it blew up in the media, and because I'd been all over the media. Yeah. And so be careful what you ask for. I'm not telling you not to ask for anything, but let's go back to greater credibility. So yeah. Let me ask you where you do have credibility
within the paranormal, in the paranormal world, because that's normally where I stay, within the ghost, the spiritual realm. Okay. But as you, I'm sure, as you hear that, you think that's a niche, and there's people out there who, you know, the UFO crowd that wear the tinfoil hat. It's easy. I mean, I don't have credibility with them because I tell the truth, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a certain sector of people that hear that and see that kind of crowd and like, that's no good.
Okay. Okay. But so then the point is you do have credibility.
Yeah.
In your niche. Correct. Yeah. So when you say I'd like to have greater credibility, what is that? Or I want to have greater credibility. What does that really mean? In what arena?
Just the general interview, like be able to get more people like you, the next level of guests to kind of separate from the tinfoil hat crowd to get up to that out of the mud, so to speak. And well, I'll say it. That'll probably piss the people off, but
yeah. Well, I think I appreciate the sentiment. I Bearsaba actually wore a tinfoil.
Well, I'm saying you're above ground, so yeah.
You know, she can tell you her tinfoil hat story because she has one. I don't. Yes, you do. You want to hear it, don't you, Jim?
What tinfoil
hat? I do. Of course, I do.
Dad,
oh, and the whole... come on! Throw the whole family under the bus. No, but go ahead. So, yeah.
So,
do you have credibility?
So, you
now?
Have credibility in your niche. So, here's the thing I would say to you. Stop, maybe God, if you believe in God, about 93% of people in the world or in America believe in God, and about 85% of people in the world believe in God. So, chances are great that your viewer believes in God. I certainly believe in God. And if you believe in God, then God has given you a gift of credibility in the field that you're in. And so the wanting to do something else is maybe not why you're here. Maybe that's not your purpose. And I don't know that, Jim, because I've just met you. But I'll give you one that's so common. We do intensive work. Bearsaba is an incredible intuitive, which you'll appreciate. And she does intuitive sessions with people back to back every week. And there's so many people, and I do intensive work, coaching, executive coaching with people, but it's common for both of us. So many people have credibility in an area. They have gifts they've been given. And yet they're constantly thinking the grass is greener on the other side. You know, I'm really good with kids, but what I really want to be is a coach. Well, why do you want to be a coach? Do you really want to be a coach? Because I'll tell you from my experience, coaching is not that exciting. It's more frustrating than exciting because most people, you know what they need to do and you tell them, but they won't do it. And that it becomes frustrating. So how about if you take your unique gifts and become masterful at them? If most of us put as much energy into the gifts God has given us and becoming masterful of those as we did at trying to do something we think is more exciting and sexy, then we would become masterful. And we'd be much more happy and fulfilled. I hope that makes sense to you.
Oh, it does. So now I've got to ask Bear a question because she mentioned intuitive. Now I've got to ask because, you know, this is kind of my arena.
I figured you like.
She's looking at paying attention now. when you're reading people, how does that go? Because I've had a reading from a medium, and I'll throw her cleanly under the bus at this moment, who told me I had 7 kids. I'm a semi-public figure on the internet. I've got 2. Like, a Google search would have showed you that. So, right? Like, so when you're reading people, how do you feel about, you know, trying to, or you, what are you trying to get from them or obtain from them, maybe?
Okay, so my reading is go ahead.
Yeah.
Did you say it?
Oh, no, I was going to say, go ahead. We got a little lag going, so go ahead. Yeah. Oh,
okay. All right. So the way I do them is different than let me
tell you your future.
Tell you your future type of thing. What I do with people is I go in.
Sorry, I was making notes over here and I didn't realize I was talking.
Oh no, you're okay. So let's say if I was to do a reading for you, I do pull cards and I do, I have to get in your space. So I feel your presence. And then from the cards that I pull and I ask you, okay, what is it that you're wanting to work on? Because what I do is very much hands-on and experiential, because what I want the person to walk away with is actual results that take form for them. And how that happens is, let's say you tell me that I have, I have ghosts that haunt me every night. I don't know. Okay. And you say, I don't know how to deal with it. Like it comes and I can't stop it. So how do I put a stop to it for them barging into my space when I don't want them to, type of thing. So then we go in a meditation process and I have you access where you're not able to tune into yourself to be able to shut that off when you want to. And how that works is that all the time, it's associated to some kind of unresolved emotional issue or trauma that we've experienced in our life. And it happens usually between birth and about 14 years of age in this lifetime. And I've had people go back in the womb and I've had past life experiences too. So then what I do is take you to that situation where that occurred and you get to see it and experience it yourself. And then once you're able to see that, then it clicks in for you and it's like, almost like a soul retrieval. You grab that part of yourself back and then we bring it back into now. So that's the type of work that I do. It's not, you know, you're going to meet your perfect lover in 2 years' time. No, we get down and do the work.
It's very
little too close for you on that one, right?
Yeah.
One of the greatest challenges
that has to be beneficial.
I was just going to say one of the greatest challenges that Bishop and I experience with all the individuals we work with is a lack of integration. Mm-hmm. Most people are fragmented, and they've got. And this is very, you know, I told you I had a Toltec teacher. This is very Toltec in nature. Toltec translates as a person of knowledge, and it's ancient traditions. If you've read Carlos Castaneda, you know, his teacher, Don Juan Matus, was a Toltec. And so it's very Toltec in nature, is that you go back and you recapture. It's like Beersheba said, it's like a soul retrieval. Maybe your viewers have heard of that, but you've got an energetic connection to a past issue that is holding you back, and it makes you fragmented because you're not whole, whole. You're fragmented. And so when you become whole and you come back together and integrate, that's when you're really in your power. And that's where you're capable of so much more in your life, your relationships, and your business.
So you mentioned work culture a few times earlier, and now I'm thinking you're going to tell me that's a beautiful sign in the lobby when you come in and a meeting you have once and everything goes okay. I'll stop and let you correct me here.
So culture is, first of all, you have to understand that your psychology always drives your strategy. How you think and feel is always going to determine how you act. And so when we go into a business, we recently worked with an $80 million company, international company. And they originally said, come in and help us with sales training. I said, okay, we can do that. We came in and we started to look around and we started to pay attention and we said, hey, we can do sales training. But the fact is, if you lay sales training on top of a poor culture, they're not going to implement it. They're not going to do it. Now, what's culture? Well, again, your psychology drives your strategy. So at an individual level, you have your values, your beliefs, your assumptions, your expectations, your perceptions. All these things are what drive our individual behavior. Well, in a business, collectively, that's called culture. So it's the collective values, beliefs, assumptions, expectations, perceptions of all the team members. And when you can shift that internal game, because the internal always drives the external, period. Mm-hmm. You want to change your results, you have to change yourself. And so when you can help shift that internally for collectively the entire team, that's a culture shift. And so that's the kind of work that we do in businesses. And it's very powerful, because what most people are looking for is just, let's throw sales training at it and we'll get better results. Well, that just typically doesn't work. It might for a few people, but it's not going to work for the mass majority. Does that make sense?
It does. And it's not a lasting change either. Because, yeah, you get those results for a couple, and then the culture slips back and takes over, and there you are cycling back through again, which is probably good for you, repeat business. Oh.
Well, not really, because we're really committed to results.
Yeah, it's not fun when it goes back.
It's not fun. I've fired coaching clients,
yeah.
You know, because I get to a point where I say, hey, look, you know, I can continue. In fact, with this last company that I just referenced, we were making a really healthy retainer every single month, mm-hmm. a healthy multiple five-figure retainer every single month. And I said to the CEO, I said, look, we can continue to take your money, but we're not interested in that. You know, what we're interested in is helping you get results.
Yeah.
And we really are, Jim, because we live in tenuous times. We live in turbulent times. And Beersheba and I are very committed to making as positive of an impact in the world as we can with everyone that we're blessed to serve, whether it's an individual or whether it's a business. We're really, that's where you feel good. That's where we feel good, mm-hmm. is when we can look at someone we've been blessed to serve, yeah. and say, hey, look at where they started and look at where they are now.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, it's, you mentioned these tremendous, tumultuous times in the world, and people are bringing in all this baggage from outside, politically, financially, all this other stuff. And then you're dumping them together. And sometimes it's not, they don't have the same, we'll just say political beliefs for the sake of a conversation here. So how do we get them to work together respectfully and not necessarily, you know what I'm going for here,
yeah.
hate each other.
Yeah. You want to speak to that?
Oh, it's a mess. I'll say that. It's, you know, where do you even start with that? Because it's, okay, so there's one good thing that's happening out of all this chaos, is that it's pushing people here in the States to take a step back and go, wait a minute, what's really going on here? And it's taking, and it's making people take a step back and get back to get in touch with their, our common values, which is our morals and belief in God and all this stuff. That's a great side of it. And we're going through a rough period, which I think it has to happen in order for us to come back to center. So that's kind of what's happening here. And I grew up in a country where this happened to the people in Iran, and it did not have a very good ending. I mean, it's still going on. The unhappy ending is still happening. And if people here, which I believe in America, so I'm hopeful that it will turn around, and I feel like we're heading in that direction.
Yeah? You have to keep hope.
Yeah.
You know, if you lose hope, then it's hopeless.
Yeah.
And that hopelessness is not a good place to operate from. And so here's what I know from my, remember, 10 years ago, I was $20 million in debt and homeless. And that's a breakdown.
Yeah.
And Beersheba had a lot of her challenges as well, which we haven't talked specifically about all of those. But every significant breakthrough is preceded by a breakdown. Mm-hmm. That's just how it works in this universe. You know, destruction and creation are two opposite poles of the same dance. Mm-hmm. Something has to be destroyed for something new to be birthed. And we're going through the birthing process right now, and it's uncomfortable. And how do we make a difference? Because we go, well, I can't change the political climate. I can't change the economy. I can't change the things that are going on in the world. Well, yes, you can. Mm. And the way you do that is by changing yourself first, because quantum physics tells us we're all interconnected. By the way, so do all spiritual traditions. And in Hinduism, they call it Indra's web. Everything is interconnected. Everything is interconnected. And so when you transmute yourself, then and only then can you maybe transmute your relationship. When you transmute your relationship, then and only then can you maybe transmute your community. Then and only then can you transmute your city, your state, your country, your world. You know, so many people are trying to look at, oh, I want to change the world, particularly younger generations. Those are the ones who are sitting in the audience going, I could do that, that you mentioned earlier. You know, but the reality is, you know, there's a lot of talk about, I want to make an impact, I want to change the world. Well, the only way to do that is to change your world. Because we're all interconnected, you cannot not make an impact. We all make an impact, you know, from a mystical and physics standpoint, Jim. Everything that Beersheba and I do has an effect on you. Now, we can't logically trace that through per se, but because we're all interconnected as a human race, everything that Beersheba and I do and everything that you do, Jim, has an effect upon someone in Russia, and so on and so on and so on. And so it's not about, you know, can I make an impact? It's about what impact am I making? Mm-hmm. Because when I'm in fear and when I'm in contraction and when I'm in doubt and when I'm in insecurity and I'm in struggle and all of those kinds of things, then that's the energy that I'm putting forth into this collective soup called the quantum field. And it is making an impact. It does make a difference. So start with yourself. Long answer to your question. But when you start with yourself, there's no greater investment you can make. Beersheba and I tell people, invest 10 times more in yourself than you do in your business. Because your business is a reflection of you. Your results are a reflection of you. And so if you want your results to change, you have to change.
That's powerful. And so you're well, you're good to take the roundabout way to get there. So you've got the free books out. Is that what I'm understanding? I just want to make sure I didn't miss anything earlier because my shoddy handwriting here makes me rethink everything that I wrote down.
We have a gift for your viewers and it comes with a tinfoil hat. No, it really doesn't.
But I send those out anyways. It's okay.
we'll leave that up to you. And by the way, we have respect for the so-called tinfoil hat. I know we're doing that kind of tongue in cheek, but there's a lot of things that once were tinfoil hat that have become
not so much
that are not so much tinfoil hat anymore. You know, the conspiracies have become the realities.
Yes.
And so, you know, maybe we could riff on that some other day, but our gift that we decided to give your viewers is a free copy of my New York Times bestseller, Harmonic Wealth, which we talked about earlier. And all you have to do is go to harmonicsuccess.com.
.net.
Oh, is it .net?
Yes.
Okay. Harmonic Success.
Oh, she would know. Don't ask the question. She said it. You just say, yes, dear.
I told you who I worked for, Jim. harmonicsuccess.net/book. And instantly you put in your information and you'll get an e-copy of Harmonic Wealth. But we decided to make it better than that because we're hoping, at least, and assuming that many of your viewers like to listen to things on the treadmill or in the car, then we're also going to give you the free audio version in addition to the ebook. And then we also put together a film crew and shot a full feature film called Harmonic Wealth. And we're going to give you a free copy of the full feature film as well. So you get the book and the audio book and the free, the free film. Just go to harmonicsuccess.net/book. And then you'll be connected with us too. And, you know, you'll be able to communicate with us if you're interested, and we'd love to help you any way we can. In addition to that.
Yeah.
You answered my next question, because people are out there wondering where they can get a hold of you. I'm assuming socials as well.
Yes.
We're all over social, every platform. We have our own individual Facebook, our own individual Twitter. We have a joint account on Instagram right now, which is James Arthur and Bersaba
Ray.
Mm-hmm. And then LinkedIn, of course. We're on all those platforms. Yeah. And we'd love to have you follow, and we post there quite a bit.
Good stuff. So as we're developing these conversations about spiritualism and business, I feel like we're missing something that we haven't talked about yet. So help me fill in that blank. I know it just feels like I'm missing something. I don't know what it is off the top of my head, though.
Well, I would just go back and say that all things are spiritual. We tend to think that spirituality is a practice. And you know, if you have three basic categories, you have religion, you have spirituality, and you have mysticism. Mm-hmm. And then we tend to think that business is completely outside of that. Well, Bersaba and I say, no, it's not. Because religion is a set of rules and regulations to hopefully bring us to a spiritual practice. A spiritual practice are things like meditation and yoga and chanting and circumambulating and all, you know, mm-hmm. incense burning and Tibetan bowls. And there's a time and place for all those things. And then mysticism, truly defined, is a personal relationship with God. A mystic is someone who has a personal experience, not a belief, but an experience with God. And so when you get to that point of the mystic, then you realize that your entire life becomes your spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a meditative practice, so does Bersaba, every single morning. And yet my entire life is my spiritual practice. It's not just my meditative practice in the morning that is my spiritual practice or my yoga. It's my entire life. This interview is a spiritual practice. Am I able to bring my full spirit and my full attention and my full energy to this conversation with Jim? And if I am, then it's been a spiritual experience. If I'm not, then it might be something else, but it's not really a spiritual experience. I hope that helps. And when we go into a business, it's the same thing. You know, what you're doing is you're hopefully bringing inspiration. In the Latin, the prefix in means to be. In spiritus means to be spirit. You're bringing that inspiration. You're bringing that spirit into your business interaction. And hopefully when you're doing it right, it is inspiring.
Good stuff there. Bear, you got anything you want to add before I ask this very cheesy last question I have?
Oh, now I want to know what the cheesy last question is.
Well, you're going to love it. It's a staple around here on the Mallory Report. It's the last question. It is, what is your favorite breakfast? You mentioned breakfast earlier, so I thought I was going to get it early, but you reserved it, so that was good.
I'm going to have to think about that for a while. I am a foodie, so.
Come on, your favorite breakfast.
Favorite breakfast. You know, we started eating red meat, and we eat grass-fed and finish organic red meat. So we started having hamburger patties for breakfast. A little bit of avocado on top and some blueberries. It's actually pretty good. I didn't think it would be. We used to eat a lot of oatmeal before. And this is much better. You feel better. You're not draggy. You're not lethargic. It kind of holds you on for the rest of the day. It's been good. Right?
Right.
Avocado and blueberry. That's a new one though. I have not heard that before. So.
Yeah. Well, the blueberries are on the side. The avocado's right. On the beef patty.
Yeah, well, it makes it.
But still, I mean, it's still close enough together. You're not. Yeah. I mean, I understand. I have kids. They're not touching. I get it. But you're still eating it all the same.
It makes it all together. It's all going in the same place.
Yeah, you're not mixing it like. Yeah, you're not mixing it like my son would. It's like my daughter's plate. It's all. Well, you two, it's been a blast and a pleasure. I hope you've enjoyed it as well. So we'll catch up soon, I'm sure.
We have. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jim. Keep doing great work, and we appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, thank you for having
us. If we can help you in any way, let us know.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. God bless.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.